federal government has a growing backlog of unawarded contracts, hundreds of billions of dollars worth of contractor work that could or should be awarded over the next year. Information technology represents the lion's share of that potential business. Joining me with details, Daniel Snyder, government contracts analyst at Bloomberg Government. Daniel, good to have you on.
Hi, Tom. Good morning. Thank you so much for having me.
All right, so give us the outlines of what is yet to be awarded, but it seems like it's in-source selection, so this is something that's going to actually happen.
That's exactly correct. So as you mentioned in your introduction there, it's predominantly favored towards information technology. But before we get into some of the details, just to set parameters around what this source selection tracker includes, it is everything. In order to qualify for inclusion on the source selection tracker, it must have had a final proposal submitted. It must have had proposals or final proposals submitted by contractors and a final award that has not yet been announced.
So these are not wishes and hopes, but things actually in process.
Exactly. So it's nothing that contractors can necessarily bid on. It's upcoming recompetes mostly and a majority of new requirements that the government is waiting to use and compete at the task order level.
How much is there and what are some of the biggies?
So of the 20 programs in our basket that we're following, it totals $286 billion. Now, to be fair, some of that does qualify are contracts such as General Services Administration, Alliant, and Alliant Small Business 2, which is a behemoth $65 billion contract. And of course, as most contractors and audience listeners may know, that just had proposals submitted in October, in the middle of October. So it's not reasonable to think that should qualify for being awarded expeditiously. But some of the others include a professional services contract with the Army, known as Responsive Strategic Sourcing for Services, and that combined four multiple award contracts. And that's been a little bit of a different story. So for that contract specifically, it has been in source selection since May of 2016, and they've delayed it several times, the last of which occurred. The expectation was to have awards announced on November 30th, and they've readjusted and are expecting those awards to come in March of 2017.
Is that lengthy process because it's more difficult to evaluate services deals than it is to evaluate products, and because a lot of the vendors are ready to pounce at the slightest thought that maybe a criterion was not followed perfectly?
That's certainly, I think, a part of it, is the evaluation criteria differs among them. Agencies such as General Services Administration, they've been partial towards the evaluation criteria in which contractors grade themselves when they submit the proposals. So some may argue that it leans itself to less disputes for a protest at GAO. So there may be more looking and fine-tuning the details for some of these other contracts, but it certainly doesn't make them any less important. Based on the research that we have done in the last 3 to 4 years, all of the data, statistics, and obligations would support the trend that multiple award contracts are being leveraged by the government more effectively and increasingly year over year. So a slot on these contracts will have a big impact for those contractors and awardees for the next 5 to 10 years throughout their period of performance.
Which gets me to my next question. Because of the importance of these, they get a lot of offerers, correct? So that the sheer volume of work can probably slow down the source selection boards.
Exactly correct. So this is a living, breathing thing here with our source selection tracker. For example, this past week, the Department of Homeland Security awarded their flash contract. So in that particular example, there was 114 bidders on that contract and 13 were awarded slots. So when that was awarded on November 28th, we removed it from our source selection tracker, and it can be found now in the awarded contracts tab. So certainly there's a high degree of importance and pursuit that many companies are going after and realize what a slot on these contracts means for them.
We're speaking with Daniel Snyder, a government contracts analyst at Bloomberg Government, and a couple of wild cards that are typical, or I should say topical, to this year. One is presidential transition, administration change. Will that have any effect on these deals?
It certainly, I don't want to speculate in terms of what may come down the pipe in the future, but because these are minimum guarantee contracts in which the government only obligates a small denomination, usually 2,500, there is no delays that could be attributable to the presidential transition. Now, when funding may be in jeopardy down the road, it could have a larger impact on the task order activity. But in terms of the overall award of these contracts, it's less so the case that it could be impacted by the presidential transition or a continuing resolution.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about the continuing resolution, which looks like it's going to go through March now, and there's even hints we've heard of maybe until May, which has gotten the hackles up at the Defense Department. But a continuing resolution versus these programs, which I guess you could classify as new programs, could that delay the awards?
Again, I don't think it would delay the awards because all of these contractors are only guaranteed a slot. So it would impact the task order spending, but nothing in the immediate future.
Earlier, you mentioned something we've seen, this trend of greater and greater reliance by the government on GWACs and IDIQs that cover maybe an entire department or more than one agency versus, I guess, at the expense of the General Services Administration's multiple award schedules?
Correct. So maybe that may have an impact on the professional services schedules and some of the OASIS business that may be leaning towards that. But the schedules are not included in this particular list, but certainly given the volume of activity through the GSA schedules, something that contractors will continue to monitor.
So if you look at the $280 billion potential of these 20 opportunities, of these 20, I guess they're beyond opportunities, they're waiting to see who gets them. Out of the 280, how much is really product versus how much is services in one form or another?
So because they're mostly multiple award contracts, a few of them are products. It's mostly professional services and information technology. And given that duality that we have seen, the trend here with our research at Bloomberg Government has shown it's largely information technology because of all of the new contracts that have came up for recompete in 2015. So now we're seeing these in a source selection status. But once these get pushed out and are eventually awarded, we're going to see a trend towards these larger professional services contracts being included in the source selection tracker. So Veterans Affairs, for example, is competing a $25 billion small business contract for professional services known as Vector. And some of the C4E, for example, is another one at the Department of Navy. So these information technologies that currently represent the 20 programs totaling $286 billion will soon be pushed out and eclipsed by these professional services contracts that are currently dominating our list of top 20 opportunities.
Daniel Snyder is a government contracts analyst at Bloomberg Government. Thanks so much for that update.
Thank you very much, Tom.
We'll have a link to the top 20 federal opportunities and to this interview at federalnewsradio.com/federaldrive.